You know, it's a very, very, very serious time in your walk with God right now. Very serious. And God's had me teach on only the holy. And we're going to have to start making we should have already made some very serious decisions on how we're going to walk with God. Because if not, and you've been sitting under the teachings, and you haven't made that decision yet, I don't know if you can. I really don't know if you can. And I don't want to discourage anybody, you know. I really don't, but I have to tell you the truth. It has to be told the way it is. Because if I don't, then one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have to say, I'm going to have to be held accountable for why I didn't tell you the truth. And your blood's going to be in my hands. And my hands aren't big enough to hold that much blood. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for tonight. I thank you for your people who have come out to sit in your presence. And Father God, those that are up at the powwow praying with the Indians, Father, I'm just asking that your Holy Spirit be there and the perfect work is completed. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you for being with us tonight. We thank you for your angelic host who's here with us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Father God, I know that you want to do a special works here tonight. And I know you was working in the praise and worship. And so, Father God, I'm just giving you full permission to go ahead and do what you want to do and stop me when you want to stop me. And your work needs to be accomplished, Father. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. As you're reading the paper and as you see the emails are so much falling away in the body of Christ, you know, pastors are just being that God said he's going to lift the skirts and expose the pastors from where they're really at. And pastors are falling away right and left and churches are closing down and people are just leaving churches. But, you know, you've seen it. You're hearing about the song leaders who have decided, well, they like the one guy was married, 19 years and wrote a book about when he was dating and decided not to date anymore and keep himself pure for God and got married. He was married 19 years and just overnight he decided, well, I'm not a Christian any longer. They got a divorce. I'm not a Christian any longer. I just don't think what I've been doing all these years was right. But God spoke to me, and I'm going to say this in the teaching too, that a while back he said the apostasy has begun. And the apostasy is the falling away of the people in the house of God. And it's already begun. I think it's 6 months ago or so God spoke and told me that. So, and you know, there's so much mixed teachings out there, you know, and this sloppy grace they talk about. And, you know, if you really read your word about grace, the only people that receive grace are those who are really following God with all their heart. That's, God puts his grace on those type of people. And if you're just in and out, roundabout, doing your own thing, you don't have the grace of God on you. Believe me, I've been studying about grace because grace has really been messed over. But I'm hoping that each one of you in here tonight have determined your heart where you're going to end up when all the smoke settles down, the dust and everything, that you're going to be in the arms of the Father. Remember God told us a while back, a couple years ago, he said, He told us to get in the river. He said, if you don't get in the river now, he said, when my glory does drop, you're going to want to get in it and you won't be able to. So for you who were sitting here, you know, and heard all that, if you didn't get in the river, you're in trouble right now. And I don't want you to come and ask me what God's saying about you because, you know, that's between you and God. All right. So just think about this. Where are you at right now? Now let's go to Luke 12:47. That servant knew what his master wanted him to do. This is Jesus speaking, but he did not make himself ready or try to do what was his master wanted. So that servant will be punished very much. And let's just put this in the right concept. You know, God's more, he's telling a parable, but it's about the body of Christ who knew what God wanted him to do, but they didn't do it. And then verse 48 says, but what about the servant who does not know what his master wants? In other words, the lost. Or just new converts coming into the house of God, all right? But what about the servant who does not know what his master wants? He also does things that deserve punishment. But he will get less punishment than the servant who knew what he should do. Because a new convert, really, they don't understand what they should. I mean, you know, they haven't been in the house of God. They don't understand what they're supposed to be doing now. Then Jesus goes on to say, whoever has been given much will be responsible for much. Much more will be expected from the one who has been given more. So all of you who have been sitting in this church for even a year, you are expected to give more than what you have. I'll never forget the time when Larry and I was first married, and we went over to Baltimore to a prophetic conference, and you know, they put you in rooms and prophesied over you. And he came out of his room, and I came out of my room, didn't know what was going on, because they wouldn't even prophesy over me, all right? And I know now why. But anyhow, when Larry came out, he was mad as a hornet. I said, what's your problem? You didn't get a good word? God told me I couldn't do what others do because of the calling I had in my life. It's not fair. That I have such a strong calling that I can't do what others do and get away with it. He fussed about that the whole way home. But anyhow, and that's the way it is. If you have a strong calling on your life, you cannot act like other people act. You cannot do what other people do. You have to get yourself holy, get yourself cleaned up, all right? Now, this is what God said. This is how he started it out. Who can see me? Who can sit in heavenly places? Who has the right to come to the throne of grace? The body of Christ is messed up. They say they know me, but they do not. My word tells you, and so he gave me that first, then I got the scriptures. But so he says, my word tells you. Let's go to Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If your heart's pure, you'll see God. And then Ezekiel 36:23 says, I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. I read that again. And God's talking to his people, his Israelites. He says, I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. The people are profaning God's name. The name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. In other words, God said, you profaned me, and now I'm going to get you right, and then you're going to show the people that I am a holy God. And Ezekiel 38:23 says, so I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. We are living in that dispensation, a time where God is going to show himself holy. And those who are falling away from the church, or those who are sitting in the house of God just playing games with God, they're going to understand what they're doing, and it's going to be too late. God says, so I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Now, Exodus 3:1 says, you know, this is God showing you what his word says. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, now, I never saw that there before. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. I always took for granted that was God, Esau. And it was an angel, all right? And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord, you know, when God, saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near, you know, God said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Amen. First of all, Moses saw the angel that we're talking about, and then he saw God, heard God. Now, when I was first saved, born again back in the 70s, God told me, he said, daughter, every place you place your feet becomes holy ground. And we've always taught holiness. So what you have to do is you have to live a holy life before God. Then every place you walk becomes holy ground. You break up the darkness and you bring light into that place. The only way you can do that is if you're walking holy with the Father. If you're being obedient to His voice and doing everything He's telling you to do. Now, Kathy Walters, I just read an article she wrote yesterday. Kathy Walters said one of the reasons there is no move of God is because many leaders don't know the Holy Spirit well enough to allow a move of God. I wholeheartedly agree with her. I've been saying that for quite some time now. The reason why the body of Christ does not know the Holy Spirit well enough is because there's too much sin in the body of Christ. See that? So many half-truths, so much confusion, so many ministers leading the sheep astray just so they can keep them in their buildings, you know, count the heads. I've been saying this for years, and I believe that with every fiber of my being. And people, I see ministers who pretend they're holy, they're not holy. I see ministers who say they walk in the Spirit. They don't walk in the Spirit. They don't even know what the Spirit is, a lot of them. But that's God's business, not mine. But tonight I'm teaching you something because this is very important that you all get this down in your spirit. But this is the time that God has been calling the peoples back to Him in total in an intimacy. You know He's been doing that. Total in an intimacy. If we are not walking hand in hand with the Father in total holiness, we are not going to make it. It's just that simple. What is your name? Now the other one. Sheila, God said somebody's going to try to bribe you real soon. And the bribe's going to look really good. But God said, don't accept the bribe. You keep walking in the Spirit and keep listening to His voice, and He's going to direct your footsteps. All right. Then God said, I have called my peoples to myself over and over again, and I say unto you this night, I am finished wooing. You either are for me or you are against me. See that? Joshua stated in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is God speaking. I don't hear the men of the households making this declaration and living that lifestyle. Therefore, the enemy has free rein in the families. Children are taken captive and women are being abused. And it's all because you men have not professed what Joshua professed. As for me first, you first man, and my house, we will serve the Lord. The men in the Old Testament said, told them they were going to serve God, and the family fought, and the man followed God, and not all of them though, and the family followed God, and they were all blessed. I think it was Gabriel just said to me the other day, he was, you know, he's in school now, and he was reading the Bible. He said, everybody that followed God in the Old Testament were blessed. Why aren't you blessed? He said, they had everything. And I explained that to him. Now, God said, children, you really do not know the lateness of the hour. For if you did, you would never do the things you are doing while sitting in my house of worship. Well, I see people that are lusting after one another. I see people, even though we say, please put your cell phones away. I see people, you know, on their cell phones and up here for preaching. I see all kind of manner of things going on, and I'm thinking, what are you here for? I don't need your head. I don't need you in a chair. I really don't. God needs your soul. God needs your holy soul. Are you listening here? You know, we're trying to get a praise and worship team together, and we used to have a praise and worship team, but they wouldn't get holy. So I took the, I don't need the praise and worship team. I don't need to look at your face while I know you're living in sin. I don't need that. So I said, we're not having it. We're just going to do what we do, the overheads. And nobody else is getting up here until they become holy. Because you sing your junk over us. And I'm not having that. And God doesn't want that. All right. You, and God said, you mock my Holy Spirit over and over again, and you really believe the lie that you will sit in heavenly places. My word tells you to not grieve the Holy Spirit. So I looked up Ephesians 4:30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. God said, you mock my Holy Spirit over and over again, and you really believe the lie that you will sit in heavenly places. My word tells you to not grieve the Holy Spirit. all right, I want to read more of this scripture. Now, I just wanted to get that one out to prove a point there, what God was saying. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 4:17. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. You know, you're professing to be a Christian, professing to give your heart to God, right? So he said, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. See that? Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. I really do not like to hear people say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. And he knows it's hard. He knows it's callous. And he knows that you are doing what you're doing because you want to do it. I really don't like people to say that to me. Well, somebody said it to me the other day. I think somebody, one of the members of the church. I said, I don't like to hear that. Too many people are falling back in that scripture, and God's not pleased with it either. God does know your heart. He does know your heart isn't right. All right? Now, I'm not talking about a sinner who doesn't know God. God does know their heart. God knows that their heart is bruised and battered, and they need a new heart and everything. That's what God, when he looks at the heart. But when he sees a Christian who is still living in sin, and they say, oh, well, God knows my heart. That's what upsets me. It should upset you, too. You shouldn't even say that. All right, verse 19 says, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. You know, this is what, when God said in 17, Peter, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And he's describing a Gentile. Sometimes this is a child of God sitting in the house of God. I'll say a person sitting in the house of God. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. This is what you were taught, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor. You know, all right, so, and give no opportunity to the devil. And that should be period, but I couldn't get my computer to make that 28 go down. So this is the next statement. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now that's how you should be living. You shouldn't be living like the heathen. You shouldn't be living like the world. You shouldn't even be living like the person sitting next to you if they're not totally saved. Amen. Each one of our walks is individual. We each have to walk out our own salvation. And you don't worry about the guy sitting next to you. You worry about where you're going to end up one day. Amen. Husbands, don't worry about your wives, and wives, don't worry about your husbands. Everybody has to work out their own salvation. All right, now, I said, when God calls you to himself, he desires that you serve him in total truth and holiness all the days of your life, not just when you feel like it. When God calls you to himself, or you say, here I am, Lord, use me, either way you want to look at it, God desires that you serve him in total truth and holiness all the days of your life, not just when you feel like it. We are in the last dispensation of time before Jesus comes back the second time. God told us that a couple months ago, right? We need to understand that when the Father opens a window of opportunity, and each one of you need to understand this, when the Father opens a window of opportunity, it is only open for a short period of time. For 40 years, God has been dealing with the church to get itself together. I know because he called me, and that's what he's been having me do for 40 years. When I evangelized, it was always ministers that I ministered to. And I was totally shocked at that point because I just thought church was just the holiest thing in the world. I really did. And when God called me and put me out on the road and I started going to the churches and ministering, it was all ministers because a prophet was in town. And God started speaking what they were doing. I was totally shocked and amazed. I never forget one time I was in a church and this man and woman were sitting together and God had me go over to them and I was walking between the chairs, you know, where it's tight. And I had to walk over to them and I said, you're married, but you're not married to each other, but you're laying in the same bed together. Now, and I said to the man, I said, and you're a pastor of a church. And I said to her, she had some position in church. I mean, they come unglued. But that's where they were at, and that's what God was dealing with. And God even told him, I'm telling you where your sin's at so you can get yourself together. Well, they never invited me back again to that church. But the other ministers, a couple got left real quick before I got to them. You know, because they didn't want their sins revealed. But that's what God was doing. He was revealing their sins. He was dealing with ministers. And then God went to the body. All right. I said, for 40 years, God has been dealing with the church to get itself together. Our Red Road generation lasts 40 years. We are in another dispensation, 40-year dispensation right now. God spoke over and over again, and we know he has, that he was shaking and shaking the church. Then he said the shaking was finished, and he was going out into the highways and byways and bringing the lost and dying, and that's where we're at right now. He's shaking the church as much as he's going to shake it. And if you didn't get yourself right, then you're in deep water with God. Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see an abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Now you can read the scripture like this. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. They were just telling who was saying it was spoken by Daniel the prophet. All right, the abomination of desolation is sin in the pulpit. All right. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination it causes, Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled and will be fulfilled again in the end. And I read all this is if you read and study about the abomination of desolation and go back to Daniel. He explains all the abominations that went on and they all came to pass. All right. Now, when the Father called me into the ministry, one of the things he said was, and I'm talking about myself, you were seeing the abomination of desolation, and I never heard, I didn't even know the scriptures to tell you the truth when he called me. I read the word. I went to church and let the pastor tell me how I should live, right? And then whenever God told me, he said, you're seeing the abomination of desolation, and he told me to go to Matthew and look it up, and I did, and I didn't understand it, all right, at that point. All right, at that time, what was the abomination of desolation? It was the ministers of the gospel dabbling in sin while preaching the word. And this is what God has been dealing with, the abomination of desolation in the pulpits. And then even in the pews, all right? Abomination is an action that is vicious or vile, an action that arouses disgust or abhorrence. Desolation is the state of being decayed or destroyed, an event that results in total destruction. If you go to Daniel and read about the abominations, you'll read about each abomination, how long it lasted, what it was all about, and how it, the mess it made. Now, the term abomination appears more than 100 times in the Old Testament and just a few times in the New Testament. Now, those two Hebrew words, what are they, Astrid? All right. Those are two words that mean abomination in the Hebrew. I couldn't pronounce them. All right. Now, an abomination is normally a great sin, commonly worthy of death. Sexual sin is an abomination. Scripture calls sexual sins like adultery, homosexuality, and bestiality abominations. You can find that in Leviticus 18, verses 22 and 29 through 30. Now, Leviticus 18, 22 through 23 says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And you shall not lie with an animal and so make yourself unclean with it. Neither shall any woman give herself to an animal to lie with it. It is perversion. But you shall keep my statutes and my rules, and do none of these abominations, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. In other words, nobody should do those abominations. Verse 27 says, for the people of the land who were before you did all of these abominations, so that the land became unclean. Lest the land vomit you out when you make it unclean, as it vomited out the nation that was before you. For everyone who does any of these abominations, the persons who do them shall be cut off from among their people. So keep my charge never to practice any of these abominable customs that were practiced before you, and never to make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. Now don't tell me homosexuality is correct. Don't tell me laying with an animal is correct. It right there in the Word of God, it tells you it's not. All right? And so many are doing that today in the house of God. So many. And they're making excuses why they do these things. No excuse. God has no excuses. He doesn't listen to them. You know right from wrong. So throughout the Bible, abomination refers to major covenant violations, especially idolatry. And in Deuteronomy alone, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25 talks about it. Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 16 talks about it. Deuteronomy 17, 2 through 5 talks about it. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. And Deuteronomy 27, 15. And Deuteronomy 32, 16 all talks about these abominations. Now, in the historical books, abomination always describes idolatry, I-D-O-L-A-T-R-Y, often with child sacrifice. And that's in 1 Kings 11, 7 and 2. And I mean, 11, 7 and 2 Kings 23, 13. Now, I was just reading where a baby was taken out of a mother's womb while it was still alive. You were in an abortion clinic, and then they sold the parts. The baby was still alive. Now, that's abomination to God. Abortion clinics are an abomination to God. Abomination also refers to idolatry in the prophets, including Daniel 9 and 11. Now, a term found in the book of Daniel, which means literally an abomination that desolates, or an abomination that depopulates. And depopulates means reduce in population, and desolate means reduce in population. So there's both the same thing. The abomination of desolation reduces the population. In other words, people have to die. God kills them. All right. We began another 40-year dispensation about a year ago. So we're in a new 40-year dispensation, guys. We are the forerunners for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come again. That is where we are at. All right? This dispensation time is going to see the abomination of desolation through the final apostasy of the church and the gross darkness that is covering the earth. So this is what this next 40 years is going to see. The abomination of desolation through the final apostasy of the church, the falling away, and the gross darkness that is covering the earth. We know the darkness is terrible right now, right? Look what's being uncovered about some of our past presidents. Look at all the killings, you know, that are going on. We are in gross darkness, and God told me, he said, daughter, it isn't, you have seen nothing yet. It's going to get far worse than what you're seeing right now. So I'm warning you all, it's going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. But we also know that during this gross darkness, God's glory is going to fall. And we, as children of God, children of light, God is going to use us to bring the souls into his kingdom. And we're going to have a glorious time working for the Father. So I don't know why you would ever want to get into this gross darkness. I don't know why you'd ever want to serve the devil when there's so much fun serving Jesus. Now, Sunday night, I had to wade through layers of demonic activity to get that word out. And I was upset when I got home, because God said the witches and the warlocks are more organized praying against me than the church is praying for me. He said, if the church would just pray more for you, that you wouldn't have to wade through all that darkness that you had to wade through. So if you're going to, when you go into the ministry, make sure the people you have around about you love you and are not jealous of anything you do, and they are bickering among themselves because you're going to need their prayers. or you're going to wade through darkness like I had to do Sunday night. Are you listening here? I get upset about that because the message is so anointed and I spend so much time making sure I know exactly what God's saying. Then I have to come in here and fight through layers of darkness. I shouldn't have to do that. I really shouldn't. It's because things are not right in the house of God. The people in the house of God are not right. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. All right? Instead of you coming in here and gathering together and talking about, hey, you know, I'm going to make a new cake. You want a piece? You should be sitting somewhere praying, right? That's what you should be doing. Those who come to the church on a permanent basis. One day when you go out there, if you make it out there and you're ministering, what you do for the one that's over you right now is going to happen to you. Now, either you cover them and really, you know, surround them with your love and your prayers, or you just nonchalantly just there, well, then that's what's going to happen to you too. You have to get this in your spirit because it's going to be bad out there. All right? That's why God had me teach about angels, because when people don't pray for you, now since I know what's going on, now I know what I have to pray for myself. I have to cover myself. I have to call the angels in. Are you understanding this? So don't always rely on other people to be praying for you. You do what you have to do. You keep yourself covered. You have the angels already camped around about you. An apostate is a disloyal person who betrays or deserts his cause or religion. And when God said the apostasy has already begun, that is the people that are now saying, you know, what I always believed isn't correct, and they're walking away from God. My first husband told me years ago when I first started preaching, he said, how do you know what you're doing is right? I said, I don't. How do you know there's a heaven and hell? I said, I don't. At that point, I didn't. I said, I just know God's called me to do this, and I'm doing it. He said, what if you work all these years, you know, serving God, and you find out, hey, you were doing the wrong thing? I said, well, you know, I'm better off than you are. You know, I'm happier than you are. You're going from woman to woman, and I'm just having a good time with God, right? And I'm going to be honest with you. In the last month, the enemy's come to me and said, is what you're doing really the right thing to be doing? You know, he'll talk to you. The higher up you are with God, the more he'll come and he'll try to convince you what you're doing is not right for God. So don't sit here and say, oh, I got it made. No, you don't. No, you don't. God told me one time years ago, in any given second, you can lose your salvation. He said, you have to work out your salvation daily. And you can't rely on somebody else to walk out your salvation. That's your job. And believe me, I know it's my job. And I have to walk out my salvation every day because that devil comes and he pounds, you know, with words, trying to make you believe that what you're doing is not right. God's healed you. Has he really? And then you get more pain than you had before. You know what I'm talking about. He will try to get you to stop in any way he can. You're going to have to say, can't come. I'm not going to accept what you're saying. I know who I am in Christ, and I'm going on. The abomination of desolation is an important subject in these last days. If we study this prophecy carefully, we will find that in each of its three fulfillments refers to a national apostasy by God's people that ends in their tragic destruction. In other words, if you go back to Daniel and he has three different abomination desolations that occurred at that time, you will find out in each of its three fulfillments refers to a national apostasy by God's people that ends in their tragic destruction. Are you seeing that? God spoke to me and said, the apostasy has begun. And, you know, I even forgot he said that until I was studying, you know, about the abomination. And then I said, that's what these ministers are doing. They're saying they're leaving the pulpits. This is what the praise and worship leaders are doing. They're in the apostasy. And they're leaving the church. They're leaving their belief. What's going to happen to them? I don't know. I'm hearing God say, but a great upheaval is coming into the house of God. And if you're not fully committed to your promise to God, your covenant that you made with him, you will become an apostasy person too. All right? You have to be fully surrendered to God and know who you are no matter what the enemy sends your way. And you have to hold God's hand very, very tightly. We are now living in the time of the Christian church's final apostasy, which makes of no effect the commandments of God. In other words, just like these people are going out and saying, well, what I believed isn't true. They're saying that what God's word isn't true. And do you know how many people will follow them? People will follow them. And they'll also leave the house of God. And when they realize what they've done, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. We need to see that we are in the midst of fulfilling prophecy and keep our eyes open for the culmination of all things. We are watching God's prophecy about abomination, desolation come to pass right now before our very eyes. I've been watching it for 40 years. And now I'm in a new 40-year dispensation. Now I'm seeing new things that are blowing my mind. I never thought, how about you? How about you? There's things going on in the house of God that I never, ever, ever thought would ever go on. I do know one thing, though. When I was born again, I knew every man in the church was lustful. I never seen such a bunch of lustful men in all my life in the house of God. You know, and they try to sidle up to you, give you that little special handshake. You know, I like to reach up and smack them in the mouth. Who do you, leave my holy hand alone, right? I don't need your filth in my hand. Come on. Been going on for over 40 years. The devil doesn't care. He just wants to take you out. It is important to note that the abominations were done by the apostate people of God. This, in turn, resulted in their forfeiture of God's protection and called down his judgments and chastisement in their desolation. When you fall away and you become apostate, then God can't keep you any longer. You're done. So you better make sure that that's what you want to be done. And you better make sure you know you're going to spend eternity in hell before you turn away from your faith. All right? Our only sure protection against the abomination of desolation is to give our lives unreservedly to Jesus, loving others as he loves them and worshiping him in the way that his word teaches. You need to have so much anointing in you and around you that the devil can never touch you. He might come at you, but he can't really touch you. And, you know, and the devil told me he was going to do this, that, and the other, and I said, then he said, I'm going to kill you. I said, no, you can't kill me because God already told me you were going to do all these other things. He said, but he won't be able to kill you. I said, so you can't kill me. And these other things that you say you're going to do, and he did. I mean, God told me he would. I said, God's in control anyhow. All right. I said that because the other night Sunday night when I went got up on my porch from, you know, when I got home, one of the people that lived in my house, they were really distraught. And all of a sudden they jumped around and they looked at me square in the face and they started hissing and spitting, you know, and that old devil was full blown. And that devil saying what he was going to do. And I said, in the name of Jesus, shut up. And just like that, went like this here and he came to himself. He said, what did I just do? Because see, the devil takes him totally over and he doesn't know what he's doing. But if I wouldn't have had the anointing that destroys every yoke, he was threatening to kill people. And God's told me that when that devil takes him over, there's power in him to do that, just that. But because I sit there calmly knowing who I was in Christ, knowing that no weapon formed against me or anybody in my house will prosper, that devil had to shut up. In Jesus' name, it shut up. Are you listening? All right, where am I at now? The greatest commandment is simply to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. If we have such love, it will be natural for us to do all things to please and honor him. In return, he will see us safely through the desolation that will close the earth, this earth's history, just before he comes again. I just want to tell you about this person that happened to Sunday night. Whenever that happened, you know, when he came to himself, he looked at me and bent down at his knees and started crying tears, great crocodile tears. And he said, you know, all my life, I've been lower than dirt. Nobody's ever loved me. Nobody's ever talked nice to me. Nobody's ever done anything for me until I came here to this house. and you, well, he was sleeping in a car in my property, and you told me to come in here and crawl in the bed. And he said, you've treated me with love ever since. And then 8 months ago, God said to me, I want you to go and tell him that you want to adopt him as your son. So I went to him and I said, God wants me to adopt you as my son, you know, just word-wise. And I said, can I? Will you be my son? And he just grabbed a hold of me and hugged me, just started crying. He said, that would be an honor and a privilege. I mean, this person can be very, very unloving. He has a lot of mental issues. But God is stronger than any devil, right? And it's love that's bringing him through. And he used to have a lot of trouble in the law, and he just keep running and running. But now he got in trouble driving without license and insurance, so he has to go to court. He said, I would never go to court. He said, I would always run. He said, but because of you and your love for me and how you brought me into your home when I was dirty and filthy, and you cleaned me up, he said, I'm going to make sure I make every court date. And what did God say? Loving others as God loves them and worshiping him in the way that his word teaches. We need to love other people like God loves them. All right. It's hard sometimes, and you don't understand, you know. But if you're really walking with God, God will tell you all about that person before you ever start ministering to him. He'll tell you exactly where they're at, exactly where their pain's at. And so when you do minister to them, they know you don't know them. So there has to be a God. He never heard there was a Jesus until 2 years ago when I invited him to come to my house and go into a bed. He said, I never heard there was a Jesus. Who is this Jesus you're talking about? 20-some years old. Never heard Jesus. Heard a lot about the devil, but never about Jesus. All right. The greatest commandment is simply to love God with all our heart and soul and strength. If we have such love, it will be natural for us to do all things to please and honor him. In return, he will see us safely through the desolation that will close this earth's history just before he comes again. In other words, he's going to take us up in that rapture. We are not going to, he's not going to let us to be here to be tormented. All right, now everybody's not going to go into rapture. And my daughter's not going to go, my oldest daughter, God told her that. And then I called her crying years ago and said, honey, God said you're not going to go in rapture. She said, yeah, he told me too. She said, I'm going to stay here and help teach others about Jesus. And Larry's son isn't going to go in rapture because he's going to do the same thing. So they're going to have to be really prayed up, walk close to God, because it's not going to be easy once the rapture occurs. The word tells us in Matthew 24:21, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. If those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. For the sake of who? The elect. Those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is a Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. The elect are those who remain loyal to Jesus. That's who the elect are, those who remain loyal to Jesus. And, you know, when I found out that Sheila and her friend were going to be here again tonight, and I'd already started this, I said, well, God, I need to do something else. I can't do this. He said, I want her to hear it. He said, this is for her. She has to take it back with her. So, all right, Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Peace and holiness. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God's instructions to his people in the Old Testament was in Leviticus 20:26. This is what God told his people. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. What did he say? I've separated you from the other people. And you have to be holy as I am holy, because you're mine. Jesus is coming, and Revelation 22 verse 7 says, "And behold," this is Jesus speaking, "and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Jesus said, "I am coming again." He is coming again. You don't have to believe that, but he is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is after you've given your heart to God. "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation." What's it say? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. You're not supposed to go out there and act like the Gentiles. You're not supposed to be out there cussing and smoking and doing your pot and all that kind of junk. You're supposed to be a peculiar people. You're supposed to be separate from the world. And then 2 Corinthians 7:1, I put that down. "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." This is what God really wants you to do tonight, because he put the scripture on my heart. "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." You have to become holy. You have to be separate, I'm hearing God say. You can no longer mingle with the world. You can't look like the world. You can't talk like the world. You have to be different. You know, I used to always say, and I still say, if you get out there and sin and act like a fool in the world, don't tell them where you go to church. Don't tell them you go to the Lighthouse. I don't want them to think that I condone all that junk, because I don't. And this is the way you should feel. You should feel, I don't want unholiness in my temple. This is a temple of God, and I need to be holy as God is holy. I need to love as God loves. And if you would do that, the Spirit of God will rest on you mightily. And, you know, I just really get discouraged with the body of Christ. And I'm talking about ministers too. You know, I can just look at you and tell you you're not walking in the Spirit. I mean, your countenance shows you're not walking in the Spirit. Some people that go here, I know you're not walking in the Spirit. How do I know this? By the way you talk. I'm not saying you're talking vulgar, but I know by what you say, you're not, the Spirit of God is not leading you. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. You have to be. Or you're no effect for God. You know, if you're out there in your workplaces especially, because you'd be surprised. No, you won't. Everybody's watching what you do. You know, I know when I was first born again, you know, I was always quiet anyhow. When I was born again, I got so excited because God was doing so many miracles through me and around me. And I'd go to work telling everybody about it, and they just laugh, and they say, "Here comes Barbara again with her stories about Jesus." But, you know, I was different. I mean, I was always quiet, but I never talked. And then when I got excited about Jesus, I would tell everybody what he was doing. And I wasn't even ashamed. And they had never experienced all that. But, you know, a couple of them got deeper in their walk with God. And they thanked me that I shared my enthusiasm about Jesus, because that made them see they need to go deeper with God. I worked with one person who used to be a praise and worship in his church years ago when he was younger. And he always, you know, always went to church, but he said, you know, after listening and watching you, he said, "I knew I didn't really have the Spirit the way I ought." See, you're supposed to lead people to Jesus. Not away from Jesus, but to Jesus. And the Bible says, be angry and sin not. You know, and sometimes my kids will say, oh, there you go, getting angry. I said, but I said, and sin not. You guys are doing wrong, and I'm upset with what you're doing. And people say, uh-huh, you call yourself a Christian. Look, you just got angry. Well, again, there is such a thing as righteous anger. And please don't ride that thing to death either. But, you know, sometimes the people in the house of God need to understand, you've just gone a little bit too far now. And they need to be reined in, and they need to be told, you're not doing right. I'm hearing God say he's here in all of his glory right now. And if you truly want to live a holy life, he said he has an anointing here to touch you with tonight. That you won't be struggling so hard staying out of the world. But that anointing will bring you closer to him. And you'll become totally holy. And the altar's open.